I'm so glad to see everyone here today with the weather having been as, I don't want to say bad, but just inconvenient, we'll put it that way. Just glad to see each and every one who've been able to make it out. And we ask that you pray for this service today and pray that God will receive all honor and all glory today. Sometimes whenever I sing that song, you can almost feel those arms around you. And there's no greater joy and no greater blessing than to know that God's walking with us. Used to, whenever we lived in Nashville, and Brother Kenneth, we used to relate that to him, Brother Kenneth Massey, that, you know, sometimes I go down to Vanderbilt Hospital or whatever hospital a member happened to be in. And when I'd go down, I'd pray. I got to where, and if you've ever been on any of the turnpikes in Nashville, you'd pray too. But at any rate, I'd pray, and you wouldn't believe, whenever I got down close to Vanderbilt, there'd be dual lane traffic there, and I'd have more people looking over in the car to see who I'm talking to. And I always thought, man, I wish I could just introduce you to him. I just wish you could know. It's good to be here today, and truly thankful that God has brought us here safely. I do not take things for granted like I used to when I was younger. I do not take God for granted like I used to. And I know that He's forgiven me for that, but I'm just so glad. I'm just so glad. That may be the only thing I'll ever get said in this service today, but I'm just so thankful for His watch care over us and for everything that He has done. Tomorrow, remember that it's Groundhog Day. And I'm sure everybody will be spellbound watching an East Coast broadcast to see if Poxitommy Phil sees a shadow or not. I used to wonder, how in the world can a groundhog know the weather? But I looked it up one time, and they said sometimes his accuracies are like 39%. And I thought, well, I'm not going to say anything about what the percentages were for the meteorologist, but I'd say that Phil had a real insight somehow. I think about the shadow, seeing the shadow or not seeing the shadow, but there's just been something on my heart. I just ask God to guide and direct me. I want to direct you to the next few services, and I hope you'll see the shadow. I hope that you'll see the shadow of the cross coming into view. Whenever that we go into this springtime and into this occasion, I hope that somehow we can relate enough about our Lord that we'll all see the shadow. You know, sometimes we get to the end of Christmas, and that's good. I'm not complaining about Christmas at all. But we get to the end of Christmas, and sometimes we just forget that after Christmas and after the birth of Christ, He had a life. He lived a life. He lived to maturity. I'm amazed whenever that I read the scriptures. They're almost like they are alive each and every time that they're read. I read on one occasion where that he was 12 years old. Can you imagine that? Lord was once 12 years old. I can't wrap my mind around that, let alone the eternity He came from. But when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem, He and Mary and Joseph. And you know, as they came back, they couldn't find Him. And you know, they went through the group that they were traveling with from Nazareth, and they were beside themselves, which is understandable, but they could not find Him. And they went back, and the Bible says that they searched for 3 days. 3 days they searched for Him. And finally, they went into the temple. There He was, discussing the scriptures and discussing the law of Moses, discussing the prophecies, answering their questions, and He asking them. And can you imagine? That's one of the conversations I'd love to have been in on. I'd love to have heard Him at that time. Can you imagine a 12-year-old baffling the rabbis and the Pharisees and the holy men that worked in the temple all the time. I just cannot imagine it. But he knew where he was from. He knew who he was. And he knew what he had been sent for. Again, we ask that you pray for us as we try to stand. And I'd like to kind of take him from the cradle to the cross. Quite a journey. I'm going to read from the book of John. John chapter 1. Very familiar scripture. You've probably heard me read from this several times, but I thought this would probably be a good start. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's in the Gospel of John chapter 1, starting with the first verse. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Try to wrap your mind around that. Try to conceive of that. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended Him not. There was a man that was sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, that is John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of flesh, not of the will of men, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Son of God, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. If correctly read, to start out, this includes the first down through the 17th verses of the first chapter of the book of John. Our text will come from two verses of Scripture. The one from the 14th verse, the 17th verse, where that it says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the law. And then the other one is found over in the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, and the 43rd verse of the book of Acts, that says words to this effect. I'm going to turn over there. To him give all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth on his name shall receive remission of sins. This is why he came. And we've just finished celebrating his birth. And I love to celebrate his birth. I love to think about he came into this world exactly the same way that you and I did. Children have a way of asking some very poignant questions, or in other words, questions that really make you stop and think, especially about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard that one little girl in Sunday school asked the question, said, well, did Mary have to change his diapers? And you know, when you think about it, he was man, but he was also God. He was God incarnate. He was God sent down from above to take on a robe of flesh, yet without sin, yet without any kind of flaw about him whatsoever. Even Pilate himself said, I find no fault in him, whenever that Jesus stood before him. Isn't that something? That a pagan ruler was the one out of everyone that was there at his trial that said, there's nothing wrong with this man. There is nothing guilty of this man. I find no fault in him. Before that he went about teaching, and before that he went about healing, before that he went about healing and also forgiving sin, Jesus had to be heralded and declared before his generation. He was declared to be the Son of God by his Father. Now, some people don't believe that God spoke from above and declared him, this is my Son, but God did. And we find that after Jesus had grown to adulthood in the 30th year of his life, he went to John the Baptist and he asked John to baptize him. John knew what he was there for. And John said to him, no, it is I that need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, John suffered to be so, for thus it fulfilleth all righteousness. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to fulfill all righteousness, to identify himself with us, to identify himself as the Messiah, to identify himself as being the Savior. And you know, we don't quite see the cross coming into view yet. But just over the horizon, we're starting to see just a little bit of the glory of it and a little bit of the shadow of it. Because there's where that it all came about. It all came together at the cross and at the empty tomb. We find that the Bible tells us that he was also tried and tempted. He was tempted like you and I are. The Bible says over in one place that he was tempted in all points likened unto us, yet without sin. He suffered within his flesh. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be lonely. He knew what it was to be rejected. He knew what it was to have people, whenever that he got down to the meat and the crux of the gospel, he knew what it was like to have people walk away and say, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And there were only like 12 or 11 left. And he turned to them and he said, will you also forsake me? Will you also all go away? And Peter, the spokesman of the group, said to him, he said, where do we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we put our trust? To whom shall we follow? But before all of that took place, he came down to where that John the Baptist was baptizing, where that he was baptizing those who repented of their sins. In fact, John's basic message was, bring therefore fruit meet for repentance. He would not baptize until there was some evidence there that a change had taken place in their heart. So it was a surprise to John whenever that Jesus came unto him and said that I must needs be baptized by you, John, to fulfill all righteousness. And so they went down into the water, And John dipped him below the surface and he brought him back up. And I want you to know that God declared himself and declared his son. And there was the evidence in a physical fashion of a dove coming down and lighting upon him. And then these words were spoken. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And later he would repeat that and he would say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And I pray today that throughout this year we'll be listening for him and hearing him today. Hearing him down in the heart, hearing him through the Holy Spirit, depending upon him to lead us and to guide us and to direct us and to point us in the direction that we must go. And I'm not necessarily talking about as assembling in the church. That is very important, but he may even lead you to go and talk to someone about their soul. And I want to tell you, the time is growing shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And there is going to come a time whenever he steps down off that mediatorial throne of grace he now occupies. But nevertheless, he is the eternal Christ that has come and has taken upon flesh. And now, after that he's baptized, he is led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. Now, someone will say today, well, you know, he's God. He doesn't have to go through all of that. Oh, but it was necessary. He went and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine that? I can't even go 20 minutes without putting a candy bar in my mouth. I can imagine what that must have been like, and yes, my wife will agree to that. She hides them all the time. But he went and he fasted. The Bible says over in one place that he was there in the wilderness. And if you ever seen pictures of that area and that region, Judea, out close to the Dead Sea, it is a wilderness. And my friend, it's not a wilderness like we're used to. It is a desolate place, my friend, where the wild animals were. And that's also where that Satan was. And after that he had fasted for all this time, the Bible says that Satan came unto him. You see, Satan had done it and had caused the first Adam to sin. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden. The first Adam that he told, hath not God said that if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that thou shalt be as gods? He went contradictory to what God commanded Adam to do. Now, I want to tell you something. Adam could have kept that law. He had the power to do it. He was a free agent, free moral agent. He had the power to disobey, or he had the power to obey. You and I don't have that kind. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. That same nature that infected Adam is passed upon all men. If you want to know why people do the things that they do in the age that we live in, it's because of sin. And I know that sounds almost like a comedic phrase that the devil made me do it, but the devil just puts the temptation there. And then he knows what your nature is. He just puts it out there. And he said, God's trying to keep something good from you. My friend, don't listen to Satan. He's never done good. He's never done anything in his existence. But here he comes for the second Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. He is the Son of God. And he comes unto him, and here's what he does. Jesus, you're hungry. Aren't you hungry, Jesus? Can you hear that hissing out of his mouth? Jesus, aren't you hungry? Why, you can do all things. Why, you framed the worlds with the word of your power. Why don't you just pick up one of these stones and turn it into bread? You can do it. And I want to tell you something. That's why it's important to know Scripture today. Because out of the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus told him, encountered him, and put him in his place. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And can you see the progression that he takes Jesus through? He takes him up to the high pinnacle of the temple. Everybody's down below, perhaps sacrificing, or they're perhaps preparing for the Sabbath day, or whatever the case might be. And Jesus, get up there, stand on that pinnacle. Why don't you stand up there? Everybody will see you. And while, when the time's right, and I'll gather the people together, you just jump off of that pinnacle. Because it says in the scriptures that he'll give angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stones. You see, the devil knows scripture too, but he does this to it. And Jesus quoted again out of the book of Deuteronomy, and he said these words to him. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not make a trial out of him today. And people are doing that in some religious institutions, I call them. They make a trial, they make a show, they make a kind of a business out of it, a commerce. It's no different today than it was back then. Whenever that the high priest would take a sacrifice that some family had spent a lot of money upon, and they would tell him, well, you know, this sheep isn't exactly right. It's not pure enough to be sacrificed. But, you know, we got one over here for just a few drams more you can buy. It's been checked. My friend, it's not changed one iota. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but that's why Jesus took rope. And he did it on several occasions. And he cleaned house. Amen? He cleaned house. He overturned the money changers' tables. He did that. My friend, it's no different today. People are making merchandise out of God. Now, I'm not criticizing any of them. I don't want to get into that realm of where that I just come on and harangue about this one and about that one. I just want you to know it's no different today than it was back then. But Satan thought that he could stop Jesus. And you know what Satan was trying to stop? He was trying to stop that shadow from coming up. He was trying to stop Jesus on his way to the cross. He was trying to stop Jesus from paying the penalty that was needed to redeem you and I. He was trying to stop us from having salvation. He knew that if he could stop Jesus, we would all be in sin to this very day. Jesus told him, said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He quoted it out of Deuteronomy. later, Satan takes him to a place and he says, all of the world's wealth I have under my control. All of the world's gold, all the world's precious metals, everything I have under my control to give unto whomsoever that I want. Anyhow, he can. And he probably does. But I want to tell you something, my friend. Here was the final price that Satan put before him. You can have all of this. You can bypass the cross. You can bypass all this that you'll go through. The pain, being crucified with thieves and with robbers, those that deserve to die. You can bypass all of that if you'll just do one thing. If you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus was like that with him. He said, the scriptures say, thou shalt not worship anything except the Lord thy God. And Satan leaveth him for a season. Jesus had been declared to be the Son of God. The Trinity had been declared. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus beat Satan. Satan was able to do to Adam, I can't get out what I feel in all of this. But he thought he could defeat Jesus. I want to tell you something. No one's ever defeated Jesus today. No one has ever put him in a type of category or anything like that. My friend, he's going to begin his journey. And as we travel that journey with him, my friend, we're going to walk. I hope I can convey it. I shouldn't tell this. You'll think I'm crazy. I had a dream one time that I was walking and up over this dune. And as I was walking up over this dune, this sand dune, there was a individual that was ahead of me. And he was walking rather hurriedly, so I had to hurry to catch up to him. But he was... Now you're going to think I'm just... You know, I may be crazy, but I'm saved and crazy. And I just, he was doing this. And whenever that I saw him turn around, it was Jesus saying, come on, come on. You've got a job to do. Come on, follow me. I want to, and I know this isn't going to sound like a lot this morning, but I want us to journey with him to the cross. I want us to come right down to that very hour. Whenever that everybody stood back, whenever that everyone beheld him, the Lamb of God that John talked about in 1 John chapter 1 and 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I pray God gives me grace to be able to present that. And it's my desire, my hope. And I don't know. I'm just going by what... I'm just telling you the way that God kind of revealed it to me whenever that we get to Easter. And I hope that we'll have... just that deeper understanding of him and what he came to do, and a greater appreciation. Oh, I know you appreciate what he'd done. I know that you appreciate how that he died upon the cross. I know that you appreciate all that he went through. He left the splendor of heaven. He left it all. He put it all behind him. He laid aside garments that we read about in the book of Psalms, where it says, out of the ivory palaces thou hast ordained a Messiah to come. I know that you realize that, but oh, that we can have a deeper, deeper appreciation of that. I know that you appreciate it, but I just want you to go on this journey with me. And I know this isn't going to seem like much, and God may direct me completely different, but I want to walk, and I want to see where he ate, and I want to see where he slept, and I want to see the publicans that nobody wanted to have anything to do with, that Jesus came to save. He said, the Son of Man has not come to minister, be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom. He said, it is the sick that need a physician, not a healthy. He said it again, that I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to see the dust on his sandals. I want to see him standing in the temple and saying to the Pharisees, and I'm going to include myself with that because I'm the biggest Pharisee that ever lived before that I was saved. I want to hear what he had to say to him. I'm not going to be over on the side cheering, you know, saying, you go get him, Jesus, because my friend, he was trying to open their hearts also. There was a veil over their face. There was a barrier between them and between him. He was the Messiah that had been promised, that had been prophesied about, that had been spoken of, written of. My friend, going all the way back, my friend, to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, God gave the first prophecy about how that he would bruise the head of the serpent, and in so doing, that he would bruise his heel. First prophecy that was ever made about Jesus. And all through the law of Moses and all through the prophets that came along, Jeremiah, Isaiah, my friend, even Nahum, a little one chapter prophecy, there's Jesus in it. You might say, brother, everywhere you go in the Bible, all you see is Jesus. He said in one place, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. And I want us just to get close to him. I know probably as a pastor, you're probably going to wonder, what in the world did we get a hold of here? But I want you to know, my friend, if this is what God wants me to do, I told my wife, I said, if all God wants me to do is stand on my head in a pulpit, if it'll bring him honor and glory, I'll do it. I know it'll bring her shame, but if that's what God wants me to do, I'll do anything that I can to bring honor and to try to bring glory unto him. Why? Because I love him. I love him. And you know, I want you to know today, and I've said this before, and I'm going to close. I've said this before, and you've heard me repeat this over and over and over again. If you, and you, and you, and you, and you had been the only ones that Adam's transgression had affected, if you'd been the only sinner in the world, if you'd been the only one that ever needed salvation, I want to tell you, my Lord would have come and gone through it all. And he would have, my friend, tasted of that dreaded cup to the full to bring about your redemption and to bring about. Why? Because he loves you. And you know, if you ever get to the point, you ever get to the place to where that you feel like, oh, I just feel like nobody loves me, nobody cares, I'm in this affliction. I want to tell you, there's somebody that loves you even better than you love yourself. There is somebody that loves you so much, my friend, that if it took that to happen again, he would do it. He would do it. He would comfort you. I want you to know, if you have friends and loved ones that are lost, I'm talking about, you can tell. I don't judge people whether this one's saved or that one's saved, but I can sure tell you this much. With what we see in the world, there are people that need to be saved. They are in such darkness. They are in such bondage. They're slaves unto it. They don't even realize what jeopardy that they're in. I feel sorry for them. I get disgusted with their actions, but I feel sorry for them because they need to be saved. They need to have that assurance in their heart that they've got a Savior and a home in heaven and a change. That's the only thing that's going to help our country, our globe, around the world. That's the only solution to it today, is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can straighten the messes out that are going on round about us. And someone will say, well, that, you know, that's pretty simplistic, but, you know, I've known some people that have gotten saved, and what a change. What a change in their life. So as we close our few remarks, we ask that you pray for us through this journey. Pray that somehow we can bring this forth the way that he wants it brought forth. I would today that the house was full. I would today the people that are lost were here. They need to hear about Jesus. And you know, I realize today that there are people that smorgasbord it all. Well, I don't care for Christianity because of so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm going to try Buddhism over here. You don't want to try Buddhism. You don't want to try Islam. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just telling you, Jesus said in the book of John, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come unto the Father except through me.